Love. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy. Loveline. That seem weird or loud? No, maybe it's just my headphones. Hey, Drew.
Yes, sure.
Phone number 1-800. Quiet. 1-800-LOV. I'll kick you in the nuts from here. He's out in D.C. Very long leg. 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. The love doctor, everybody, but actual board certified physician. You're in Washington, D.C. tonight?
I take it you sat down, right?
I am.
Wow, that's awesome. You're in D.C.
Awesome.
Tonight, Drew?
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right. Turn your cans down. Coheed and Cambria are here tonight. I know I sort of butchered Cambria. Claudio Sanchez and Michael Todd both here from the band. And welcome to the show, you guys.
How's it going?
How are you?
We're probably as tired as you guys are because these guys just flew in from New York and had to do a bunch of press. And I haven't been home yet. I left at 9 this morning. And Drew, I'm sure, is whooped because his ass was on a plane to D.C. this morning, right?
Yes, at 6 o'clock.
All right. Oof. So listen, we're all miserable. Let's try to work this out.
At least the three of us can complain to each other.
Yeah, we can cry on each other's shoulders, but Drew, you have nothing but the overnight engineer at the D.C. affiliate to cry to.
Oh, but you don't know. You don't know what it's like over here. It's wonderful.
Here's
Shangri-La.
Is it nice? Is it a nice station?
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Have I been there?
No.
Okay, let's keep it that way. I have a suggestion. I say we play a best of Loveline tonight, but... But hold on. Coheed and Cambria songs get intermixed within the best of. So we take like a show where David Alan Greer was being extra funny. We get a few plugs for the band in. We hear some music. Maybe we play three songs instead of two songs. And we all go home and get some much needed shut eye.
I'm feeling that.
Yeah.
That's a plan. And Drew's on 1 o'clock in the morning schedule right now.
Oh, my God.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
We, I don't think we're going to be able to get away with that. But I think what we should do. The band is, by the way, going out on a tour September 27th. They're going to be in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and then going everywhere, right?
Yep. Yeah, pretty much all over the country.
Out here, they'll be at the Wiltern, which is a beautiful. Have you guys played the Wiltern yet?
I don't think we have yet.
It's a bitchin' old theater.
Yeah, I heard it's a really cool room. Have we played it?
Amazing. Well, it's an amazing creative name. It's on Wilshire and Western. That's the corner that it's on. So they just
nice.
Some genius just went ahead and named it Wiltern Theater and thought. And here's what you get. Nobody puts that together. They just put the crappy name part together.
Right.
So you're getting the worst of all worlds. You don't get the part where people remember it's on Wilshire and Western. You just get the funky weird name.
And they get the phone calls asking about the address.
Speaking about Drew, do I sound weird in this microphone?
You do. You sound strangely. No. It sounds weird. Like you're fuzzy.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I think in the band, I know you get asked all the time about the name, and some bands don't like talking about the name, but do you guys mind talking about it, or do you care? Where'd the name come from?
It's actually two characters in a story I'm working on.
And you guys, does everyone in the band work on, I don't want to call them comic books. Is that offensive?
No, you can call them comic books, graphic novels, doesn't matter.
Graphic novels. But, I mean, it's like calling a, a sanitation engineer a janitor. They don't like it. I'll go with graphic novel and kiss a little ass.
That works.
But does it have to be a little bit thicker to be a graphic novel, or is it still comic book size?
Yeah, graphic novels are big and glossy.
Oh, really?
Stuff. Yeah.
And like, average comic books, like porn script thick, right?
Yeah, totally. Like 23 pages.
Oh, porn don't go. No, that's
a couple oohs and ahs.
That's taboo 1, 2, and 3 right there, 22 pages.
Sorry, I thought you said trilogy.
Taboo trilogy. All right, we're going to, I think we should hear a song because, Drew.
Yeah.
You are going to love this band. This band is unique. There's nothing else. Uh-oh. Michelle's got a little confused.
I don't know which one.
Oh, and the computer's not up either. How do I start the computer,
Nice.
Drew? That will work out later. Yeah?
Control. No, you just push any button.
All right.
And then push Alt D.
Yeah, hold on. Do I have to hold down the any button?
No, just Alt D.
All right.
Well, it'll say.
Let me tell you something. I've never felt more retarded than when I'm working a computer and you know you got the mouse in one hand and people's going, just hit return. No, just hit. Don't just break. No, just and then their hand goes onto your hand and starts moving the mouse around like you're a retarded kid. You know, just don't go up. No, upper left. No, too far. No, gone past. Now I just see a kaleidoscope on the screen because I'm freaking out because I realize these people think I'm an idiot at this point.
I don't know. That's funny. I was just thinking, what a team.
What a team.
From 3,000 miles away.
Oh yeah,
that's
it's like
right.
To operate a computer
yeah.
together.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna look.
Did you get it? Alt D and then enter.
All right. Where is the where's the Alt D?
Just Alt is to the left of the space bar.
All right. Yeah, Cap, then, Shift, and, Center. Yeah, Alt. Oh, that Alt. All right. Why don't
alt,
you say that
D.
Alt? And then D.
The letter D.
And then Enter.
Did something happen?
Okay. No.
Okay. Fantastic.
We didn't, but I think a garage door opened in Pacoima.
All right, we'll work on it during the song.
All right, but we don't have the song either. You understand?
All right, so... Yeah?
Yeah, we do.
Well, let me tell you this, because I'm going to start singing the dreidel song if we can't get this worked out.
Yes.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Coheed and Cambria, everybody.
Who knows what goes on in the old vagina, the old vagina, the old vagina.
Thank you. 1 million sold.
All right. I don't even know what song we're playing. Ah, we're playing Welcome Home.
Welcome Home.
Now that dream.
in Cambria, everybody. In studio tonight, Claudio and Michael both here from the band. You like that, don't you, Drew?
Yes, I do. How'd you know?
Well, because you know why? It's symphonic. It's melodic. It's big.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't go for all this stripped down crap. I like it big. I like my bands like I like my ladies. You know?
I'm with you.
Yeah. No, I just what I mean is you know this I like a string section, a horn section. I like to fill up the stage.
Oh man, I'm with you. Yeah. And we are like as many like musicians as we can get on it. Like
Who was that? I mean, did you guys arranged all that and how'd that all work out?
A guy named Carl Bergen, right? Is that his name?
Carl Berger, yeah.
Did the arrangement for like the strings and it's on a couple of tracks on the new record. And then we had a quartet of musicians come in and just track themselves over and over again until they became an orchestra.
Oh, really? That's how it works.
And now it's that big.
Now, what do you guys do when you do it live?
Actually, we just started doing this. We never did it before, but we have a friend of ours from home who kind of operates like some keyboards and samplers and stuff, and he kind of just samples digitally from the tracks from the record and does the best that we can do to recreate it live. And
right.
You're not going to see an orchestra up there, but you're going to see some dude like standing behind an amp making a whole orchestra sound.
Yeah. Well, good enough, because I'm high. You know what I mean? So I might even be facing the stage. That's my thing. Like a little bud.
Maybe the orchestra will be there then.
That's what I mean. I'm staring, hopefully, if I have decent seats at thousands of people.
Yeah, there'll be a whole orchestra there. That's what I meant.
All right, Drew, you ready to take some phone calls?
All right.
Yeah, let's go.
Who do you want?
Here we go.
Who do you want?
Break it
down.
You want
someone has a, the smelly vagina call fell off.
There you go.
I always hate that.
Damn.
Was that a pun?
Attracted to needy guys. The smelly vagina fell off. Hey, Danny.
Oh.
Danny with an I. You're 18. Yes. What's up?
Sorry, I didn't really think you guys were. I called before, and you had me on hold for, like, ever, so.
All right, well, let's not buck that trend. We'll put you back on hold for a little while.
That's my fault.
I love it when everyone starts off with a subtle jab, which is, I wasn't prepared to talk to you a-holes, because last time I called you a-holes, I was on hold with you a-holes for 90 a-holing minutes. But now I'm on? Oh, okay, now I got a question. Like, don't start. Here's the deal, everyone. Save the insults for the end. Our stupid callers start with the jab in round one. Save the haymaker for round 12. Get your question in, get your answer, then call me a dick and hang up.
Yeah, grip us with the heavy details early.
Right. You know what? It's like a job. Your boss should like you for the first week or so. Don't barge into his office and take a dump on his desk. Wait until you quit.
And then ask for
a
raise.
Right. That's what I'm saying. All right. Now I feel bad. Danny?
No, it's not like that because I live in Kansas City, so the delay is a whole, like, day. Like, we don't get your show until the day after you guys record it.
You're fat.
All right, Drew, please.
Whoa.
Go ahead.
Not say that.
Go ahead. Ask your question, Danny.
Okay, I get really attached to, like, in terms of, like, needy guys, in terms of I'm pretty mature for my age, in my opinion, and they don't have the same goals as me, and I just get sick of it, you know? I get, like, the guys that aren't motivated, and I really like my boyfriend I'm with now, but I'm afraid it's going to turn into a problem later, and it's like, is there any way to avoid that problem, or am I just choosing the wrong guys?
What are some of your goals?
Well, I mean, like, okay, I graduated high school at a young age, and he's almost, like, he's 19 right now, and is in his last semester of high school.
All right.
Are you
going to college?
Next year. I plan, like, I don't have the funds to do it right now, so I'm working, like, really hard for a year and trying to save up for it. You know, I have jobs, like, goals of, like, getting a good job and, you know, going to college and doing, like, the normal things that I think someone my age should be doing, but it just seems like...
All right. Hold on. I got to give a word of advice to everyone who does that thing where they're talking about always climbing the ladder and working hard, and I got goals, man. Don't do it. It's low rent. Don't talk that way. People that have stuff never talk about that. They just quietly do it, you know?
Right.
When you talk about... Like, it's like when I see a guy sitting at the Starbucks with that, 10 things successful people do. Thing I just think loser.
Right.
Now the guy wrote the book smart, but the guy's reading it's a puss. You know, don't do that.
There's never been anybody who was truly successful that became successful because of those GD books.
Yeah, and when you start broadcasting it, like when you go like, hey man, I'm going places. You know, when it comes to it becomes a scene from Fame or something. Like I'm getting out of this town. You understand? I'm a climber, and I need ambitious people around me. And you're not cutting it. It just seems so white trash. Don't do it. That's what I'm saying. Don't quietly, Danny, be ambitious, but quietly ambitious.
Oh, I'm not okay.
Don't
take it down a notch.
Don't even talk.
No, like, I'm not. You guys are, like, overestimating.
No, just nod. Just.
Okay. Okay,
now
so.
nod your, hold on, nod your head. Nod your head, yes or no.
She's nodding, yes.
Are you currently enrolled in a college?
Right now?
Uh-oh, bad sign.
Right now is a bad sign, because that ain't Harvard, baby, or Brown. No one goes, right now? Yeah, right now? I'm in Cambridge, yeah, I'm going to Harvard. Yeah.
You guys are so mean. Okay.
All right, right now you're not going to college.
No, I just graduated high school.
But I thought you graduated early. You're 18.
Yeah, I just graduated last year. Like the end of last year. I was 17, so that's early for me.
Okay. And you've been working hard, saving up for school.
Yeah.
And you're going to go to a four-year college.
No, two, actually. Sorry to disappoint you guys.
Ooh. Let me explain. You don't have to save up to go to junior college.
Are you insane? Yes.
Yeah.
No, as a matter of fact, anyone shows up on that campus with more than a 20 in their wallet, they'll toss your ass right out. Take your bong and your hacky sack and get out of here. You're saving up to go to junior college like saving up to go to prison.
No, it's not.
You don't save up to go to prison. You just go.
There's not a larger degree in my field that I'm studying.
What are you studying?
It's automotive.
Automotive?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, now we found some common ground.
All right.
Yeah, what are you into? American Muscle? You like the European stuff? What do you like?
I don't know. I like the older cars and stuff. The problem is I've never, okay, this is going to sound really cliche, but I didn't have a father around, you know, teach me that stuff, and I think that's what drove me to, you know, towards it.
You're overweight.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about cars?
Very, very little. Very little.
What? I'm confused. You're studying it in college? And
well, what? She's going to study
That's
it.
That's the plan, right?
Right.
I see.
Okay.
You want to be...
Usually they don't start from nothing, though, do they?
You want to become a certified mechanic?
Yeah, I'm going to get GM certified. But they start from, like, nothing. Like, I'm going to know the basics, you know, change your oil, change your tires. I work at a tire.
Ooh.
Yeah, boy.
Drop the S-bomb. Now, let me explain something about GM. It's Mr. Goodwrench.
Yes. Not
Miss Goodwrench. You understand me? It's not Ms. Goodwrench, although picture that dyke. Ms. Goodwrench. Haunchy, big waffle-soled boots coming down the thing.
She gave me a ride down here.
Pulling your dipstick out and doing it under her arm. You know, pulling it out.
Or whatever.
Tasting some tranny fluid. Yeah. Yeah, you're running lean.
You need to flush
that. Yeah. You're a flush out. Tell you what, you're blowing a seal on that slave cylinder, my friend. You know, if I go ahead and tear it down for the hoist wasn't being used right now. Drive by the pad. I'll do it over the weekend. Slip me a 50. I got nothing to do. I was going to shoe a horse, but go ahead and drop your tranny. Change the seals. You won't pay taxes. Just go cash. I'm running low on red man. All right. Are we done with lesbian cliches, Drew? All right. Danny sounds like
a woman.
I don't know, but she is thinking about going to junior college to learn how to be a mechanic, and she's worried that her man is not ambitious enough.
Right, it prices her out of the market, you see.
Right.
Yeah, what does he want to do, go to real school? Or
I'm just saying, what do you have to do to outdo that?
Right, how low do you have to go?
You have to be standing there with one of those cups with the handle on it and the string and the ball on it and just trying to get it in the cup. For 24 hours a day. Like, the only less ambitious move you could do than not going to mechanic school. Danny?
Ambitious for me to, like, want to better my future?
No, you should want to better your future, but go ahead and do it.
Don't worry about the guys.
Don't worry about this guy.
Okay, so did you drop him, or, like...
Well, he's 19. No. I don't know. Do you like him? Is he a good person?
We haven't found out, by the way, why it took him so long to get through high school. Did he fail?
Yeah, he got into a really bad drug phase.
All right, well, that's a different issue than his sort of ambitiousness. He's a drug addict, and if he isn't actively in recovery, he's going to be a problem.
No, he doesn't touch anything anymore at all, which, I mean, I completely admire, you know what I mean? Like, you know, he had to go through some stuff to do that, but I'm just afraid that, like, I'm just going to get sick of the fact that, like, I mean, he doesn't really have a job.
Okay, Danny, here's the thing. Do not get pregnant.
Yes.
I concur.
That's it. Here's the reality. Danny, you're thinking too far ahead in relationships, too far ahead in life. You're 18. Relax. Go to college. Get certified. Get that patch with the ASC certification on the thing.
Go nice.
Get your gig at the Firestone.
Get the Ms. Goodwrench thing on the shirt.
Get the Ms. Goodwrench thing worked out. And work on that. He can work on staying sober and graduating high school. Do not get pregnant. A couple years, you guys will be broken up anyway. It'll be no big deal. All right?
There you go.
You know, what is that thing? Someone has to tell, like, all 18 and 19-year-olds, stop freaking out. Slow down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't get pregnant. It's like, we're engaged. Don't get engaged at 18. There's nothing to prove. You have 5 years before you have to do anything. Just focus on a little education, getting your head together, maybe a little travel. Try not to get stabbed or get pregnant, and that'll be a good year. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. Sagely
great
advice
idea.
From the Ace Man. Yes, Drew?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Coheed and Cambria in here tonight. Claudio and Michael. Both representing the band. And Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C. Why?
Because
somebody
dropped
a nickel. That's right. So glad I've trained you to say that. What's happening, Drew? What'd you do over there tonight?
I gave a talk in a synagogue.
Awesome.
And I suggested to them that it might not have been a great environment for you to participate with me and if you sort of let loose with a couple F-bombs or something.
Right.
In the house of God, I don't know, you know.
Well, let me tell you something about the Jews. They're more flexible than the Christians, who are uptight.
I see.
Jews know how to tell a joke, like to tilt the little wine every once in a while. I don't really think the Jews are really, I don't know what they buy into. I think they just like eating and hanging out and having a good time.
Yeah.
That's my take on their religion.
Sure.
But they don't want to take any chances, so they sort of follow along. Like, every Jew I know, you know, does something on Passover and Rosh Hashanah and all that, but none of them believe anything. But they just go, F it, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't want to chance it. Don't monkey around.
I'd like to come out with you tonight, but I got to go home and have this glass of wine or whatever.
Yeah, and I got to eat something.
A matzah or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of food, a lot of food-based stuff.
Unleavened, right. Though. Unleavened.
Unleavened bread.
Absolutely.
That's right. All right. What's the deal? They didn't have yeast back then, or it was too heavy to drag through the desert?
What's
the deal? Well, get some yeast.
And no ovens, no yeast. Come on.
All right. But here's the deal. Do we have to eat that crap now? That was 2,000 years ago. Well, now we have yeast and ovens. What's your excuse? Stop punishing yourself. All right. Let's take a band. Let's take a band question. Let's see. Talk to Eric. Eric?
Oh, yeah, what's up?
That's a great band question. How'd you guys come up with a name? I think I already asked that question, Eric. I know you've been on hold for a half an hour, so it's not your fault.
That's not my question, actually.
All right.
What you got?
I was actually wondering, there's like supposed to be a story behind it, right, about Coheed and Cambria?
Yeah, that's true.
I was wondering if you could kind of just tell me, like, exactly, like, what the story's about exactly.
Oof.
Calling all nerds.
It's kind of... That was a nice soundbite. It's a little... I think it might be a little too complicated to, like, you know, shorten it, but, Claude, what? It's a...
I would suggest going to the website. They talk about it there a lot.
Yeah, it's quite a long, long, long story. And
go to the website.
Into it, we can't really sum it up, like, briefly right now with giving it any kind of
context. All right, anyone who wants the answer can go to what website?
CoheedandCambria.com.
And you'll find the entire story. All right, let's talk to Seth, who finds sex unbearable.
Ooh. That sounds like a better question.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Parents' fault for naming you Seth. You get named Seth. You're not into sex.
Speaking of Seth, I was just looking at Seth MacFarlane here on Late Show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Family Guy creator guy?
Yeah. Busy brought him up last night. I guess they dated a couple times.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smart kids.
I've never met him, but I find that man a geniusly talented guy.
Genius.
Yeah.
He's and as...
I love all his work.
And as smart as he is
nice.
As nice as he is.
Yeah.
He's really a nice guy. He's like a sort of a sweet, unassuming guy.
That's
Seth?
Good news.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hello. Hey, man. It's not necessarily that I find it unbearable, but basically I'm a recovering addict, and I started using at a really early age, and since then, basically I have to be to find sex pleasurable. Like, I love sex, but I just to find it pleasurable, I pretty much have to be intoxicated. And
what do you mean to find it pleasurable?
The actual act of it, like being, I've been with, almost like 20 girls, and I've only had sober sex maybe 5 times.
Are you an opiate addict?
Yeah.
When opiate addicts, sometimes that part of the brain that gets saturated with the opiates is what gets activated as part of the joy and arousal of sex. Mm. And if you're not having that pharmacologically massaged, you don't have a very satisfying experience very often. Now, the trick here is to stay sober for at least a year.
Well, it was before that even. And, I guess I can say this on air, heroin for a while, but almost to sort of numb out a lot of stuff. And
all right, hold on a second. Wait. Seth.
Yeah.
What are you doing while you're talking to us? is you rearranging some cassettes or something?
No, actually, I'm sitting in my car. I was just about to pump some gas.
All right, well, stop multitasking when you're on a national radio show, please. All right. Now, you sound... All right, hold on. Let's talk about Seth for a second. Put him on hold. Seth sounds like one of these guys that's uncomfortable in his own skin. I feel most sorry for these people out of all the people in the world. I mean, you see a guy in a wheelchair, you see a guy missing an arm, you see a guy any kind of handicap. Nothing is as bad as the people that feel like there's 1,000 cockroaches inside of their skin. It's like somewhere between just... low self-esteem meets I'm not sure who I am meets I know no one likes me meets life's confusing, but there's something.
Well, you
Seth
know what
just strikes me is that
you know what happened.
I had a question for Drew. Actually, this is Michael from Coheed. Don't like opiate addicts, doesn't that kind of numb you up, like when you're on opiates?
Yeah, it does, but it stimulates a part of the brain called the anterior cingulate, and it also there are areas deeper in the brain that are rich in opiate receptors that you really, they're down-regulated and can't be sort of activated by normal physiologic mechanisms. And so unless you have that going from that pharmacology, it's hard to feel much of anything. Plus, he clearly was a trauma survivor, and so sexuality probably has a million horrible feelings associated with it. He's not been sober. I'm sure he's not been sober more than about a week in the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, let's
you just hear it.
Because, I mean, wouldn't you think, like, how long does it take to get those?
At least a year.
Seth.
Wow. No kidding.
Seth, were you traumatized when you were younger?
Well, yeah, that's one thing. Well, also, I'm just kind of nervous being on air. That's what a lot of it is.
All right.
I'm actually coming up to a year of sobriety, and so basically due to that I've been almost celibate for about a year. So that also has a little.
Were you a trauma survivor?
That's another thing. Since I've been in recovery, some memories are kind of coming back, and I believe I was molested, but that by a babysitter when I was young. But that's one of those things where my brain almost won't let me. Get to that. It keeps shutting down.
Why do you sound like you've been using something? You've not been smoking pot still or something?
No, actually. It's kind of late. I'm on the East Coast.
You're completely sober in the program.
Drew's on the East Coast, too, and he sounds like Tony Randall.
I thought I heard that tone of voice
You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, listen. Here's the thing, Seth. To me, the sex is probably... the least of your worries at this stage in life. I mean, you need to get your therapy, stay in your program, get your head on straight, get a job and fight to keep it, do all that good crap. And then I think as these other things work out in your life, the sex part should start working out too, especially if you have a good relationship.
It should. And him not having sex his first year in sobriety is great news. He's not going to allow a relationship to take him out of his sobriety.
It's good news for whoever he'd be crawling on top of, I'll tell you that right now.
But if I may make a suggestion, don't let the desire for sex lead you to try to sink back in or anything. Let it mellow. It'll get better the longer it goes away.
Right. Well, that's interesting, Drew, because... some people, Michael brings up an interesting point, which is some people go, I can't enjoy this, so I got to get high so I can go live my life.
Don't do that.
That's right.
All right. Let's,
which is nonsense.
Let's talk to Candace, who's 19. Candace?
Yes.
What's up, baby doll?
So, am I on air now?
Yep.
Okay. I've been with the guy for about 2.5 years now, and
here's how you'll know you're on air. We'll be talking to you, because there's no way we would talk to you if it was off the air. You understand? Okay. We're way too big.
I got a break. I got to go talk to Candace real quick.
Go ahead, Candy.
Okay, so I've been with this guy for like 2.5 years, and he's cheated on me for the 9th time just recently. And
wait, how long have you been with this guy?
2.5 years.
How old are you?
I'm 19. I'll be 20 in November.
It's time to end. Mm-hmm. Time for it to stop.
Well, the thing
it's
is,
only a little over 3 times a year, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, quite it, 4 times a year.
It's a lot of holidays.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It didn't start until I was pregnant with this kid, and that was about 1.5 years ago.
What a
so
night.
It started then, and it's been really hard to ditch him or to lose him, and I've tried a lot of times to break up with him and get over him, mm-hmm. and I can't. I don't know what it is, and
Did you give birth to his child?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did. All right. Are you raising the child?
Yeah, all by myself. Single independent woman here.
Well, wait a minute. How can he cheat on you if he's not around?
What do you mean?
Well, you're raising his child by yourself.
Yeah.
He's not in an active relationship with you.
Well, it's like, for a long time I was living in a little town. He lives up here in Seattle, or he used to live here in Seattle, and then I lived like 100 miles away. And we lived together for like 1 year. And then when I became pregnant with him, he stuck around for like 3 months and they took off. And then he'd come back, leave. And I kept on taking him back because I had his kid. And I had like so much love for him or whatever it was I had for him.
Whatever
Candace,
it was, right.
Candace, let me just jump in. And I got a plan to give the kid a fighting chance.
Please.
Yeah. Take the kid, put him in the child seat. You know, the one that goes in your car?
Yes.
Okay. Tie a weather balloon to that seat. And just let them go. Hopefully, he'll hit the Gulf Stream and make it as far as Japan and be raised by a nice Asian family so the kid can have an education and some clothes and a life.
No.
That would be a much better plan for this child than the
or
one you're currently
she could just turn
out.
Over to the family of raccoons in the backyard. That'd be good.
Let a friendly family of raccoons raise this child so he can get an education and have a shot at something better.
Is it really that bad?
Well, I mean, the chaos
doesn't seem to sound good.
Cheating and all this. I mean, here's the thing. You shouldn't have a kid when you're 18 years old or 19 years old. But once you do, then you have to start acting like an adult.
Yeah.
And super flaky guy who's popping in and out of your life and possibly going to get you pregnant again. When he pops in again needs to go. You understand? Because now you're mom and you have to lead by example.
I totally understand this. And I mean, I bought my own car, which is, like, you know, good for me and my age and everything. I got myself through high school. I became pregnant when I was in, you know, senior in high school. I finished high school. I work 2 jobs, and I live on my own. I'm trying to be the best, like, mom I can. It's just I can't get over him. I don't know.
Well, where's your dad?
How do I get over him? Do I?
Well, where's your horrible father?
He's in Arizona.
Yeah. What happened when he took off?
Yeah, when did he split? Did he know your mom?
Oh, definitely. He was in my life till I was about 11 years old.
Why'd he leave? What happened?
Drugs.
Yeah, all right. Listen, you can't get over him because you haven't dealt with dad.
Huh?
You got to deal with your dad. Look, you take an 11...
Oh, my God, my dad is the same way. It's like, I've gotten along, I get along...
Hold on, Drew, are you writing this down? Finally, we're learning something on this show.
Shocking.
After 11 years, finally a breakthrough. Okay, baby, do you understand how people are? Here's the deal. I got to give my polar bear speech just one more goddamn time to all the idiots who listen to this show or who have friends who could be told about this. People, not that much different than animals. We're really just an animal. It's sad. We're a little smarter than most, although I think owls are still smarter than we are. But we're just animals, and it's easy to figure out how we're going to act by studying just a handful of us. And if you study polar bears, how many do you need to study before you figure out how polar bears act?
Right.
50? 100? 10? I mean, we understand that concept well. You look at 100 polar bears, you watch them for a year, you know exactly how polar bears act. You know about migration and mating, hibernation. You know everything about polar bears from just studying a handful of them. Teenagers, about the same thing. Humans, same thing. She's got daddy. Daddy took drugs. Daddy abandoned her. Daddy split to Arizona, broke her heart. Now she's with a guy trying to fix what she could never fix with daddy.
Right.
Meanwhile, she craps out a kid with the flake, and the kid picks up the same drama mama does and carries that into her future. So
that's
we'll
it.
Have that to deal with. And don't worry, one kid, oh, she's just 19.
Yeah.
She's not begun yet.
Yeah.
Then her kids haven't begun having kids in their teens, too. That's what we have to look forward to as a nation, unless somebody wants to, A, talk about it, and then, B, stand up and do something about it. Candace?
Yes?
You need to take a stand, sweetie pea.
What do I do? Do I go and relocate? Do
yes.
I run away?
Whatever.
How do I
whatever, get whatever, well, look, whatever it takes to get away from this flake.
Yes. I agree. Start over. Start over on that tip.
Okay, so
and men are, not all men are your dad.
What?
Men, you understand that your dad, he's not Adam.
All right, so listen.
He's not the original man. He's not the prototype for man. You understand? That's what chicks think. All chicks think their dad was Adam, like the prototype for all men, that all men must be dad. Believe me, it ain't that way. There's plenty of guys that are good guys, but you're not going to be attracted to them because they're not dangerous and they don't remind you of dad.
Yeah, did your dad even grow apples?
Candace.
Yes.
All right, your dad's gone. This guy's gone. You got a kid. You're smart. You're not stupid. You got to get yourself off autopilot.
So, I'm serious, like, for future relationships. What if I run into something like this again?
She's going to go to women. I just know it.
Oh, huh? Really?
Yeah.
You're going to go to women? You ever think about women?
No way. Yeah, I actually have. Honestly,
yeah.
I have.
Yes, I know you have. I can tell.
Should I go that way?
I can just tell it's where she's headed.
Man, I wish I was that flexible sexually.
Yeah,
Drew,
no,
what do
right?
you think, dudes? Should I go dude? I think I'll blow a guy.
That's not that easy a question.
Jimmy's, you know he's a good guy.
Show.
He's a provider. You know?
I listen to you guys' show. You
I'll
know,
blow him. I'll do it.
Where I call you guys and get some advice from you guys. Something,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I've really gotten to the point where I know I need to do something and lose him and move on with my life. But
yes.
I'm just afraid for the future. I mean, am I going
to
end up... Like
afraid to have a guy who's not cheating on you, probably has kids with other women?
Right.
Afraid of losing all that? It's like, I don't want to go to the doctors because I'm scared I'm going to lose my herpes.
No, I'm afraid something like... I'm afraid I'm going to get in a relationship like this again where...
You will.
You will, but then it'll be a little better, and then the next one will be a little better, and eventually it'll be flushed out of you.
Yeah.
Well,
and like
get
my main concern is my child, right? I want my kids.
All right.
To turn
good.
Out
then don't get in any relationships for a little while. Have the relationship with your kid and a therapist.
Avoid guys that you're really excited about being with. Those are going to be the bad guys. Guys
yeah.
you're really into.
Oh,
feh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I got laid. I was a bad boy in high school.
Oh yeah.
Dangerous. You guys are deep.
Yeah. Call Jesus. Me Blade. Brillo head Blade. All right. Let's take ourselves a little. Bit of a break. Coheed and Cambria in studio tonight. Claudio and Michael both here representing the band.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C. Why is Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C.?
Somebody dropped a nickel.
That's right. Coheed and Cambria in studio tonight. Claudio and Michael both here. Good Apollo, name of the CD, which, it's a little longer than that, but I'll just give you the first two so you can go ahead and go on the internet and find that or go to your local whatever and get it. Just came out this Tuesday, right?
Yeah. 20th? A couple days ago.
Yeah, and it's climbing the charts, baby. Your record label chick was telling me like 100,000 copies and the most added and climbing this and that. So, congratulations.
Cool, you just delivered the news to me for the first time, so that's
good. What she said.
It's a good deal.
Drew, again in D.C., phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Had a great time speaking at a synagogue tonight, the Sixth Street Synagogue.
All right. Wait, are you actually plugging a synagogue?
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
We got to get out there. Got to get out there because it's dealing days.
Yeah.
Come on down. Ask for Rabbi Schwartz. She'll
Six
teach
and
you.
I.
He'll
Six
teach
and
you
I.
right. I'll tell you, you drop my name to Rabbi Schwartz to give you 20% off a yarmulke. Come on down. Get your Mogan David. All right. Let's, you want to talk to Gloria?
Sure.
You want to talk to Mike? Gloria. Well, husband cheated on her. Beth. Boyfriend prefers BJs. Beth?
Yeah.
21?
Yeah, I'm 21.
Why? You sound angry.
I'm sorry, what?
Already?
You sound angry.
No.
Okay.
Well, really what it is just, we've been together for about a year and a half. We're both 21. And it just appears that it's like, I've always had a really big sex drive. Like, I, you know, 3 or 7 times a week is kind of what I would prefer. And since that year and a half, I mean, I expect some decline just because, you know, everybody tells you about relationships. They, you know, things slow down a bit and everything. But it's like, it feels like if I, you know, initiate anything sexual, if I don't give him a blowjob, he's either disappointed if I initiate sex instead. And it's like, is that...
Well, how does it work, though? Does he get the BJ and sex, or does he just want the BJ?
He just wants the BJ. And it's just like, you know, I can, you know, if I initiate sex one day, I feel like he's disappointed because it wasn't what he wanted.
Yeah, but is he disappointed, or do you just foisting that on him because you got some self-esteem issues?
No, I mean, because we talk about it, and he just tells me he's just not really that interested in sex, and he'd just prefer the BJ.
Oh, Adam, this is your kind of guy.
Yeah. You know, separated at birth. I like a BJ, so shoot me.
Is that,
you know what I'm saying?
Can occur? I mean, obviously it can happen, but it's just like, I mean, do you think it's something with me or, you know?
No, you know what? Let's try to figure this out. First off, some guys like BJs more than others, and other guys ain't into it. Like Drew, not a BJ man.
Nope.
No, he does not want a BJ. He loves to give them, but he does not want to receive, okay? I guess he's a bottom, what you'd call a bottom, not quite honestly. Now, Drew is a man of passion, and to Drew, there's no substitute for coitus.
That's my motto, strangely enough.
There's no substitute for coitus.
Zero substitute.
Zero substitute for coitus. For me, there's no substitute for BJ's. Okay? But, you know, that's what makes us different. You know, God bless us both. But I just wonder if this guy is... And women, I think, mistake it for the guy not being that into them.
Right.
When it's really... He's really into BJ's.
He's optimally in. Yeah, he's in... Right. He's into her doing that.
Right.
It sounds like he's a taker and she's a taker.
Yeah.
Like, or sexually, you know?
Right. So, are you willing to do this for him?
Oh, yeah, and I do, but it's like... He almost expects it as much as, like, I would expect to have sex.
Why can't you do that? Why can't you guys sort of do that? Work out the math.
Well, because what comes down to is if I do that, then I don't get sex ever.
Well, why don't you have the sex first?
Make him satisfied.
Do the sex first.
Have the sex first, and then, you know, finish him off.
Make him go down on you 13 times a week.
There you go. You hold all the cards, my dear.
Absolutely.
It's all about him, I feel like.
You have all the goods. All you got to say is, hey, we're doing nothing then.
Well, and I did that, and I feel like now he just, and it's like, he doesn't bother him.
All right, let me suggest this. You guys have been together for a year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
You're 21?
Yes.
Maybe it's time to call the day.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're 21, and you've been together since you're 18 or 19, and it's just, you know, feels like, you know, your sex becomes like you're at a Turkish bazaar, and
if it's
he's
old,
trying to
21.
Haggle with you over a BJ.
Right.
Come on. It's not, you know, if you have 5 kids and you both started a business together, that's, you know, maybe you get a little therapy and you work it out. But, you know, you're 21. Maybe this guy's not compatible with you. You sound angry at him.
Right.
You wasted a year and a half. Maybe you move on.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. You get hooked up with a guy who's into anal. And then you know how it feels. And then you'll beg for the BJ guys. That's what I got to say to all you broads who make fun of the BJ guys. Way to get the anal king. Then you'll be dying to come back to the Ace Man. Begging to give me a BJ. You won't even be able to beg because they'll be in your mouth. All right, Drew.
Take a break.
All right, we'll be back after that. That's Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
Now I just want to say it every time.
Because somebody dropped a nickel.
That's right. Coheed and Cambria in studio tonight. Claudio.
Thank you, gentlemen.
In here. Good Apollo, name of the CD. It keeps going, but that's enough for you to find it.
Dot, dot, dot.
I was just, engineeress Michelle was just showing me a story about a tragic story about a boxer who died in the ring on Saturday night, or died from injury sustained in the ring. But they did that thing they always do, which I always think is a bad idea, is in the story they always do that part where they go, he died doing what he loved, which to me is no consolation.
Right.
Like, I like beating off, but if I die beating off, I'm not going to be happy about it, neither is my family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They always do that. And I don't think he liked it when he was being killed by it. That's my take.
I agree.
He loved grilled cheese, but he choked on it.
Yeah.
So he was happy.
Yeah, it's like, he loved this. He loved to parachute, but when that chute didn't open, I bet he hated parachuting for the last couple thousand feet. Like, those are, he died doing what he loved.
His last thought, I'm never parachuting again. Yeah.
This sucks.
Sorry.
Whenever you're killed by whatever you love most, is your last thought is, this blows. I don't love this anymore. It's not even my top 10 list of things I love. You know, like, if you love camping but you're being eaten by a bear, you don't think about how much you love camping. And it's no consolation that you died. It's worse. You should die doing something you hate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just
follow through. At, you know.
Yeah, that's what I hope. I was like, Adam hates work, and that's where he died. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it all came together.
It all came together. It was good that he died earlier in the day, so he didn't have to stay to the end. All right. Shall we keep moving forward, Drew?
Yes, please.
I'm hearing an echo. Is that your cans?
I don't think so.
All right. Cans are what we call headphones in the business. It makes people think you know what you're doing.
And they're as big as
Bonesy,
cans.
Bonesy.
Got,
nice.
Got a question for the band. Got a smokes pot question. Musical influences. We'll try that with the band. Griffin?
Hi.
13?
17.
17. All right. Yeah. Says 13. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question for the band. I just want to know, like, what some musical influences were for you guys and, like, how you guys got started.
Musical influences. Primarily a lot of classic rock, like Led Zeppelin, The Police, Pink Floyd, things like that. How we got started, as any other band would get started. You know, we all kind of knew each other in the scene and just kind of took it from there. Oh, into the mic.
There you go. Oh, he's in that mic. The mic's in here. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Did people go to the same school and stuff like that?
None of us actually went to the same school, pretty much. Just kind of growing up playing music in the same area. But, you know, all having similar influences, like all kind of... I wanted to play music because of, like, Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd that, like, our parents or brothers and sisters had us listen to.
Right.
So those, you know, the influences, like, between the four of us are all the same. Like, Thin Lizzy, Queen, Led Zeppelin, Police.
Really?
The greats, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen King.
Yeah, that, I'll tell you, I had that Black Rose CD from Thin Lizzy in the
hell
day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, Thin Lizzy's good. Hey, Griffin? Griffin? Oh, did I put him on hold? Man,
evidently.
I'm tired tonight. Griffin?
Yeah.
What's up, brother? All right, Thin Lizzy, Led Zeppelin, The Police, all bands you've never heard of.
Oh, I listen to them.
Name one Thin Lizzy song, and if you yell Jailbreak, I will grab my heart and fall onto the ground. Go ahead.
I don't know any, but...
All right. Come on, boys are back in town.
Go find some. Go find. Yeah, boys are back in town. It's a big one.
I was at the Avalon show. You might remember me. I came in backstage with you guys, and I showed you my tattoo.
Oh, yes. Is it on your neck? Is that you, or is that a... Am I mistaken? Is it a dragonfly one? Or?
No, I had the Keyworks on the back of my arm.
Oh. My apologies.
All right.
But I remember the Avalon show, and I remember, like, we've seen a book. Thanks. Good. Nice.
The questions about
all right,
the
Griffin, let me tell you something about being in a rock band. You don't remember the dudes who come backstage. You don't even want dudes backstage. You don't even want yourself backstage.
Nah,
that's
I like that, man. Come on,
dudes.
Man. There wouldn't be a backstage if it wasn't
I'm just
for
saying
the dude.
Most,
I don't know this guy.
Most bands are so stringent about guys being backstage, they don't even let members of their own band. backstage. That's how I would be in the band.
Yeah, maybe we met in the restroom and you showed me that tattoo.
I'd be like, sorry.
I'm not allowed backstage anymore.
You know the policy, here on out. No dudes backstage. But I drum. I don't... everyone's got an excuse. Just keep moving. All right, let's talk to...
cool, man. Well, yo, thank you for your support and everything.
17-year-olds... I don't know. I don't want to seem like Pops Corolla here, but I feel like you ought to be 18 before you get that tat. I just feel like it's something that's going to be with you for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have some terrible ones myself.
Did you get them before 18?
Like when I was 15 and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Which I don't mind. You know, I signed up for it and whatever.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you really think about the stuff you're into when you're 15, whether it was the cars... Whether it was the chicks, whether it was
absolutely.
Whatever you were into, whatever you thought was really mega cool at 15, you sort of laugh about now. That's why you cringe when you open your yearbook in high school. But the tat is like a yearbook that you wear constantly for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but that's kind of like a notch in the journal. You know, I have some stuff that I kind of detest and I kind of shun from showing people as often as possible. But, you know, it's there for a reason. I got it when I was 15. I was like, yeah, you know, I was 15. That's why I have this. So that's, you know, it's a little notch on the tray.
You know, you're a bolder man than I. To me, it's like having the same crappy haircut you had when you're 15 just because you had it.
But you can change that. And here's my theory on tattooing. Like, you know, however many years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
However many years ago, you couldn't really get them removed without whatever Brillo and stuff.
Right.
And now, you know, at... couple years ago, then tons of laser surgery. I predict, you know, when I'm absolutely can't stand it anymore, maybe, you know, whatever,
get
$25, just get that zapped off in 2030 or whatever.
Try $2,500, but what'd you get? Because it's not, you got to go 9 times. I know all about
what
this.
I get. I got some, just some small pieces from an artist in Kingston, New York, like a little solid black dragon and stuff, you know, when I was 15. It's not,
but it's,
you know,
not,
nothing really.
It's not like the Fonz holding two thumbs up and saying hey or anything.
It's not
right?
like...
I got that.
It's
one.
Not like a, it's not like an Alice in Chains tattoo or anything. You know what
I'm saying? All right, so it's not nothing too bad. All right.
Well, that would have been good. All right.
All right.
In retrospect,
right.
I digress.
All right, let's keep on keeping on and speak to Gloria, who's 21. Gloria.
Yeah.
Ooh, got that little
she,
girl voice.
You sure does.
Hi. What's up?
About 7 months ago, back in February, I was a few months pregnant.
Hold on. Did you get molested?
No. Actually, I've had a pretty normal life.
But how old are you again now?
Huh?
How old are you?
21.
I'm 21.
And you're pregnant already?
Oh, I've been married for a year. But I had a really normal family, and my father was there, and he was great. So, I mean...
All right.
But I got married in August of last year, and then in February, I was a few months pregnant. And shortly, so in mid-February, I found out that my husband was still involved with his ex-girlfriend, Roxana. And as if that wasn't bad enough, I found out maybe 2 or 3 days later after I miscarried. And I found out the 2 days that I was in the hospital, he was with her or calling her when I needed him the most. So naturally, my trust.
Where did you think he was, or where did he say he was when you were in the hospital?
He went home because I was going to have surgery. He said that he needed to go home to shower because he can't sleep when he's sticky, and I know that's true. He showers like 4 times a day, so.
Really?
But I begged him to stay that night.
Already, Adam doesn't trust him.
I begged him to stay that night. I begged him. I told him I needed him. And.
All right. Well, why'd you marry this idiot?
Because he was perfect.
No, he's not perfect.
Perfect.
Oh, please.
You're married still then?
Perfect.
Well, that's what, I mean, naturally after that, I mean, if Adam doesn't trust him already, naturally my trust was shattered completely. So because of my inability to trust...
Hold on a sec. Look, something's got to be going on with old Gloria growing up.
Yes.
Something happening.
Just the drama. Just the need for the drama. And that she'd get married to an a-hole so young and demand that's
all right.
Wrong. It's escapism.
All right, let's get our pickaxe and mining helmet out and do a little digging and see what we can get at.
All right.
Gloria.
Yeah.
Your biological father was the one you grew up with?
Yeah. I've tried to kind of blame people here at home, and it hasn't worked.
Well, that's what I do.
But, I mean, no, it's just... We've had a lot of problems because I haven't been able to trust him. And, you know, we fight and we make up.
All right, hold on. Did your dad cheat on your mom?
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't a perfect childhood. It makes me so angry when people...
Getting somewhere.
Yeah, of course. That's what you married. You married your dad. There you go. Once again.
I told him that once. But because I haven't been able to trust him, our fights have escalated to a point where he asked me for a divorce today.
Today? Hold on. I'll tell you, Gloria, there's... I know you're going through a hard time, but there's just so much pain and drama in your voice.
I'm heartbroken.
I understand. Well, I understand
It's a throwback to PTSD from your dad.
What is that? You screwing around?
No, it's Anderson.
I mean, we haven't, like, I've
Anderson, would you stop that? This poor girl's on the brink of suicide.
That's awful.
Sounds awful.
Come on,
Anderson, I know you're high, but please understand that's inappropriate.
Well, she chuckled, so
it made her laugh,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, it'll be the last sound that comes out of her mouth.
In fact, do it again. Oh, man.
Christ, Anderson. Now I actually think you could do time. It's at least manslaughter. Gloria.
Yeah?
Look, let me just give you the broad strokes. Your family was not perfect. Your dad cheated on your mom probably more than once. You probably heard all the chaos and all the fighting. There was probably some booze or some drugs involved, I'm guessing, too. You hooked up with a bad man. And let me tell you something about this guy you hooked up with. I don't know how old he is. I'm guessing he's around your age, 21, 22?
He's 25.
25. All right. He is still 10 years away from being right if he's ever going to be right.
If.
That's a big if. That's if he either finds Jesus Christ or smartens up and sees a therapist. I'm going with the Jesus Christ route for now.
Well, he doesn't believe in Jesus.
We know.
I know, but wait till he goes into the joint for the third time, then he'll find Jesus, because that's where he resides.
I've suggested marriage counseling. In fact, I've been hinting around it forever, because I've told him that I can't learn to trust him on my own. And he says that even counseling ain't going to fix anything. And then he sends me text messages saying, I love you and I miss you, but let's go our separate ways and never want to see you again.
All right,
How do you say that in the same sentence?
But, Gloria, the guy's, you know, a sociopath, and you're a victim, and you're going to have the same relationship that your poor mom had with your, you know, cheating dad, okay? Your dad's an idiot, and now you're attracted to idiots. We already went through this in the show in the first hour. Let's just move on, baby. You're 21. The guy's a serial cheater. He cheated while you were in the hospital. That's enough.
That's
move forward.
Horrible. Yeah.
And no more pregnancies.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right. There you go. Look, everybody, I'm not so sure what your plan is for your life, but the whole sort of autopilot thing, I'm just going to live the same crappy life my parents led, doesn't seem like a great plan to me.
Yeah.
Your plan should be to not make any of the mistakes your stupid parents made.
Right.
And here's what you do. You look at him. Look at it like a gin rummy hand. You want to discard the bad cards and get more good cards. If your parents did a handful of things right, go ahead and take that momentum and learn from it. If they did a few things wrong, learn from that. Don't repeat it. Learn from it.
And learn to recognize it.
Yeah, learn to recognize.
Biatch.
I'll tell you, I'm getting preachy tonight. I need a guy. I need a couple of black dudes standing behind me when I'm done just yelling, recognize!
Biatch!
Wearing those goofy hats, you know? Bow ties. Horn-rimmed glasses. Give me your mother effing shoes! Give me your shoes! That's a little scene from Scared Straight, circa 1977. All right, where are we going now? Let's see. Nine-year-old kid. Ooh. Wow, Mike's been on hold for 90 minutes, so for that reason alone,
holy,
he's our next caller. I know, imagine listening to me for 90 minutes. Mike?
Yeah.
29, go ahead, brother.
Actually, I'm not. I'm 38, and I'm a UPS driver. I just made up that question so I could talk to you real quick.
Can we hang up on these bastards, please?
Well, hold on a second. Now, here's the thing.
Clever ploy.
It was clever, except for the part where you waited 90 minutes. It was a wonderful, wonderful plan, except for the part where you're on hold for 1.5 hours.
And then you announce it.
Well, then you announce it. But Anderson, please.
It just encourages more jackoffs to call, though.
But I don't care. I want to talk to Mike. Mike?
Yeah.
What can Ace do for you?
Well, I just called to let you know that I drive for UPS at night. And from 10 to midnight, I love my job anyway, but from 10 to midnight, it's just that much better listening to you guys. And it just makes...
Yeah, speaking of brown, how about the brown nosing?
Yeah.
This is Anderson's worst nightmare come to life, by the way.
His nose is hairy. It's so far up your ass.
A guy with a bogus call who actually likes the show. Anderson, you must be beside yourself. There's two things Anderson hates. It's bogus callers and this show. Those are the two things he hates most in life. And so for a bogus caller to praise this show, that is a 1-2 punch to the gut.
I think Mike just hung up, and I swear to God I didn't do it.
All right, Mike. All right, well, the man has a route to make.
Guy.
Yeah. Let me say this about UPS, too. UPS is a great example of how this country is supposed to work and why communism doesn't work. Because you see those UPS drivers, you realize they don't get paid by the hour. They get paid by the parcel. They're on the move. I see those dudes, they got that big brown panel truck thrown in reverse. They're going 80 down an alley, sparks coming out of the side of the thing. While the van is still rolling, the guy goes flying out of it. 5'8" pound, like a pack mule with those parcels, running upstairs. They have to wear shorts because they run their ass off all day long. And even the chicks you see working for UPS, those guys that are making the rounds, they have a certain amount of packages delivered. They get paid based. I mean, I'm sure they get a base salary, but they also get paid on performance, and those dudes are running. I mean, when is the last time you saw a UPS guy just chewing the ass? Just leaning on a corner in those brown shorts, talking some chick up, smoking, not doing anything, van parked up. No, you see them running in and out. They run so much, they can't even put doors on the van. That's how they don't have time to open the door and close it. They have to dive and shoulder roll out of the van and let it coast into oncoming traffic. That's what they do because they get paid based on their performance. Now, go to a communist country.
Right.
See how that works out. Here's the and see how UPS would work out if they said, look, it doesn't matter whether you deliver 2 packages or 800 a day. You're still getting paid the same amount.
Well, get it when they get it.
Yeah. Guess how many packages get delivered. And that is the day you stop seeing those guys running. That's the day you see them trying to talk up this receptionist and get laid at the office. That's when you see them blowing a butt. That's when you see them sitting, listening to this show in the van. That's when you sit. That's all you need to know about communism versus capitalism, everybody. UPS, busting ass. Mailmen, the mail department delivers parcels. You ever see them running? You ever see them hustling? No. You don't see them moving. Why? They're getting paid the same.
I, for one, have not seen them running ever.
That's right. They don't get paid by the parcel. All right. Whew.
Oof. Perhaps my favorite tangent so far.
Yeah. Where's my black posse?
I don't know, man. Can I come around there with a mic? Pick me up?
Come on. Come around there. Yeah. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C. tonight. Let me give a quick plug. Because, Drew, God knows I deserve a plug. I've been busting my ass tonight.
Okay, it's too late with Adam Carolla. How about that?
Alec Baldwin on tonight at midnight, Comedy Central. And let me tell you something about Baldwin.
He gets into it. Oh, hi.
Rangy.
Oh, rangy, boy. But we don't scratch beneath just the fine veneer of Alec Baldwin. We trench deep into Alec Baldwin. He blew 2 snot rockets on the show intentionally. 2 and threatened me with a 3rd.
And caught them both behind his back.
I ain't kidding you. He actually did a snot rocket. He went off on his brothers. Alec Baldwin tonight on Too Late Midnight, Comedy Central. Take a quick break. Be right back with Coheed and Cambria after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Coheed and Cambria in tonight. Claudio and Michael. Joining us from the band Good Apollo, name the CD out as we speak. Drew.
Yep.
You know, you missed the San Gennaro, the kickoff of the San Gennaro feast tonight.
Here. How was it?
Here. It was good, you know.
Or
lots
bad.
Of talkative 80s, although I'm such an idiot. You know, I was there, and they were doing the whole press thing. I just saw it on the TV behind us here, and they did a thing on the news. It reminded me of it, but I got there early to do the whole press thing and talk about the San Gennaro feast, and they had a couple celebrities and a couple Italian celebrities and that kind of thing. And I spotted it. So it was this thing where they're, you know, the money's going to charity, and we want to thank Ralph's for sponsoring us, and the local this, and the money's going to the food bank, and this and that. And city representative Tom Labange is here. Come on up, Tom. And I thought, oh, Christ, I got to get this guy and start talking to him about the goddamn traffic situation in this town, because I'm going to give this guy an F, an earful.
Oh, my God.
I got to talk to this idiot, but he doesn't synchronize any lights. I got
this
stupid
is awesome.
Red arrows.
Did you talk to him?
No, the problem is I'm up there smiling and taking pictures for everyone, and then then he slinks off, and he's talking in the corner, and I'm up there doing interviews, and I'm thinking, don't go, I got to talk. And then he disappears into the crowd, and never comes back.
Damn.
Yeah.
The shadow knows.
I know. You know, the thing about politicians is they do two things. A, they keep moving. Yeah. They're like sharks. They got to keep moving forward, because the second they stop, they're going to have a whole bunch of pissed off citizens around them.
With
maybe
harpoons.
Like an angry mob. And the second thing they do is they use your name over and over and over again. It's one of those things they teach in BS school that makes people think, you know, like look people in the eye and use their name over and over again, except for the last time I talked to Tom Labange, he thought my name was Alan. So it doesn't work when you don't use the guy's right name over and over again. Alan, I hear what you say. You know, Alan, I'll tell you what I'm going to do right now, Alan. Alan, I'll tell you, I'll make you this promise, Alan. Your name's Alan. I'm going to talk to one of my representatives, Alan, who's going to focus, Alan, right on this, Alan. Okay, Alan? And I was going nuts because he was screwing my name up, but doing that BS politician thing. This is when I spoke to him on the phone, wanting to speak to the folks at the traffic department. And that is my drug-induced fantasy, that I get to get up in front of all the people who are in charge of traffic in this city and start screaming at them until I'm dragged off the stage by security. Yeah. Drew, you can come with me, by the way.
Oh, I'm coming.
I might need a note from you saying I'm clinically insane so I can get out of prison.
Well, they'll kind of figure that out.
All right. So, you know, we should hear a song, too. I'll tell you what. Let's take a call, and then we'll hear a song. Yes?
All right. Perfect.
All right. Let's see. BJ question. Smokes pot daily. This could be fun. Yeah. Yeah. James?
Hey, what's up?
22?
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Nothing. Actually, I worked on two of Coheed and Cambria's last videos, Welcome Home and The Suffering. I just wanted to say that you guys are pretty awesome.
Cool. How's it going, dude?
Pretty good. I did a majority of the visual effects on your two videos.
Very cool, man.
Yeah, it's a fun time. Yeah, it grew
crazy
on me.
Meeting you in a place like this.
Well, he's calling from my hometown, North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where you living, James?
I live just off of Coldwater on Archwood.
Yeah, that's a good part of North Hollywood.
I mean, I don't really go outside, so.
Yeah, smart. Well, it's all relative. Yeah, go ahead. I think that's in Labange's district. I got to talk to him. All right,
I just got back from
you
work.
Got a question? Yeah.
Yeah, I was having a dispute with my coworkers regarding pot usage and what it takes to be considered a pothead.
Marijuana addiction is always the same in every situation. It's somebody who smokes pot a couple times, and it sort of primes the effect, and finally around the third or fourth time, you have this amazing experience where you just fall in love with the drug. You have this amazing euphoria, and you use it every day from then on. Over the course of years, the effect starts to wear off. You start getting anxious and depressed, start smoking more to compensate for that, and then you fall into rather serious depression typically. And at that point, people switch to something else. But it's an addiction that's extremely difficult to treat. It's a very clearly an opioid effect in some people, and others not at all. But those people that get that, oh, my God, it becomes a profound addiction that's very hard to treat.
Why are you looking at me like that, Claudio?
Yeah. Here's the thing, too. If you do special effects for videos, you probably have a problem with weed. I'm no doctor, but I've been around.
Videos,
you know?
We're fueled by marijuana and a lot of it.
All right, well, look, here's it. James.
Yeah.
I don't know how much pot you smoke, but, you know, I'm not uptight. I got, I actually, at the San Gennaro Feast, had some guy from the pot advocacy board come up and approach me. Weird guy with crazy eyes. And look at me as a hero of his for explaining I should think, you know, pot should be legal and you should keep people, you know, let people make their own informed decisions about it. But here's the thing. For some people, pot is a problem. There's no doubt about that. And why am I hearing myself echo?
Don't know.
Drew, is that your headphones or is that my headphones? What is that?
Is that your enlightenment setting in?
Like, maybe it is. Huh. Maybe it's my inner child.
Finally crossed over.
Yeah.
Congratulations, dude.
It's you know, people get into that thing where it's like, well, it's not physically addicting, but it could be. It doesn't matter. For some people, they're into it and it screws with their life.
When you are addicted, there's no such thing as psychologically addicted. When you are addicted, that means you can't stop despite consequences. We know that that means there's a disorder in a part of your brain called the medial forebrain bundle. The part that sets priorities becomes distorted by the drug. And that's addiction. That's biology. You can't stop. You can't. That's it. It's not a psychological process. And you either can stop or you can't. That's it.
Better though, to be, you know, better to smoke or be addicted to weed than be addicted to crank. But addiction's addiction is what Drew's saying.
That's right.
But then Drew just say that it. Do you think that it really actually like leads up to, is a gateway drug to other things?
No, it's not a gateway drug. I've never met a marijuana addict that wouldn't stay with pot if it would just keep on working. But it eventually doesn't work, and that's when you start having the panic, the anxiety.
That's 20 years for a lot of people.
Yeah, I smoked pot for like 10 years myself. Yeah.
Some people it's 1 year, but some people it's 30 years. And when it stops working, that's when it's, you know, like anything with addiction. It's when the house of cards falls, that's when it becomes a problem.
All right.
What happened to me is that all of a sudden, every time I would I stopped smoking pot, and then since then, every time I smoke it, I get really nervous and go hide in the corner. I get the Jungle City twitch.
Right. That's what happens to everybody that smokes a lot of pot. You eventually get the panic and the depression, all that stuff. We don't know why that happens anymore.
Oh, that's good. We don't smoke anymore.
No, not for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years or something.
Right. So just heroin now?
Yeah, just only like whippets.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Crystal meth. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, meth is the most common thing. Yeah. Yeah, meth usually becomes the drug of choice after pot.
Oh, that was a joke.
No, I'm just saying it does because it corrects the the depression that the pot causes. So.
Really?
You know,
is that a go-to after pot?
Yeah, it's the most common go-to because it corrects all the problems that the marijuana causes. I mean, when you're searching around smoking more pot to try to get the effect back, and you keep getting panicky and anxious and depressed, you start looking for other solutions, and amphetamines corrects everything. So people think, oh, there we go. Let's keep going.
Jesus.
I don't understand why I guess, reading some article a couple weeks back about how much money the current administration is putting into weed as opposed to meth, and they're putting more into weed or prevention or stopping or whatever than there of meth. And I really, someone needs to sit sort of the man, and when I mean man, I mean white guys in their 50s and 60s who are Republican, and really explain to them the difference between the different drugs. Because to them, you're either on drugs or you're not, and that's it.
No, I think Mr. Bush knows the difference.
I think he does. Well, if you look at his policies, he doesn't seem to know the difference between pot and meth, because he's putting more money into pot than he is into meth, and anyone who comes into contact, let's just put it this way. You do not want to live in a society where more people are high on meth than are on pot.
Yes, agreed.
Agreed.
I don't know. That could be kind of cool.
No.
Be real cool to have a bunch of guys breaking in your house at 4
like
in the morning.
For like a weekend, you know.
No.
I could take some pictures and...
From a helicopter, take those pictures. All I'm saying is I would rather have... Let's put it this way, Drew.
Yeah.
I would rather have 50% of the populace smoke marijuana on a regular basis and every day than 5% have a problem with meth.
I concur.
What do you think of those numbers, Drew?
Think
about homicides, brother.
Yeah. Well, the speed problem is so huge now already that we're getting in there.
I'm just saying 5% of the population, which should, you know, be, I don't know, several, you know, well,
million.
Let's see, turn it, yeah. several million people high on meth. I mean, you know, 15 million people
high
on meth.
You got me.
Yeah. I'd rather have everyone just smoking weed.
Yep. Yep.
All right. And so would Frito-Lay.
Oh, that's who you
Drew,
work for now.
You would still work for. I would buy stock.
Of course you would.
If I had this tip, if I knew this was coming, I would just buy. I would buy, sell everything and dump everything, all those tech stocks. Go get Frito-Lay and let's go. Whoever makes Bugles and Funyuns, go get it. Oh, well, I'll be rich. All right, let's hear a song, shall we?
Beautiful.
Yeah. What song are we going to play next? I know, oh, it's written down. Here we are. Yeah. This one's called The Suffering. Cambria.
Cheers.
Yeah, you just don't hear it around. And if you do hear it, you got to go, you know, go listen to a classic rock station or something, you know?
Kind of
refreshing, kind of nice.
You flatter us.
And no, I'm impressed. And I think certain bands play a certain attitude or style of music just because it's easier. Like, well, we don't have to do that much. We don't have to sing that well. We don't have to play that well. But if we have a ton of attitude and seem kind of PO'd when we're out here, then people will leave us alone and think we're artists. But this stuff's ambitious. Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you kiss a little band ass?
I'm listening. Yeah. I'm in.
Okay, buddy.
All right.
You took a leak during the song. Don't give me that crap.
No, I'm still listening. I'm actually listening. Get me a CD, please.
No, I'm taking it. No.
No.
News, you lose. All right. Well, we'll get an extra CD for Drew.
Thank you.
Be waiting for you here on Sunday.
Of course.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. Coheed and Cambria in studio tonight.
Hi there.
What is happening? Who is this? Is this new...
The White Stripes.
Oh, White Stripes? All right. Well,
this video is amazing.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm not even going to try to get to describing it, but...
All right. I'll just turn on MTV2 when I get home and check it out.
I bet you shall.
Let's see. Let's talk to Amy. Oh, wait a minute. Big boobs. Hold on a second.
Oh, boy. Here you go.
Courtney?
Bonesy.
What?
17? Yeah.
I don't have big boobs.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll keep moving. Well, just hang on. She's only been on hold for 34 minutes.
What does it say up there? How did you read big boobs?
Get sick to her stomach when her boyfriend sucks on her boobs. I guess I saw boobs and stomach or something. I thought they were big. I'm not a big reader, Drew. I believe it poisons the mind.
I know. I've noticed that about you.
What's that place called where they hold the books and then they let you borrow them again?
The bookstore?
No, this is the place that lets you borrow them.
The library.
What? Hold on. What was that?
The library.
That'd be the library.
See, it doesn't have the word book in it. That's why it's always hard for me. You know what I mean? It's not the book lending place, you know, or the book exchange, or you know what I mean?
It's hard to figure that out.
It's got a name in it that don't sound like a book, you know? Library. Yeah. That's nothing. Sounds like a place where you go to, you know,
lie.
Yeah, like tell fibs or something. Or, you know. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
I hear you.
I'm saying I shouldn't be expected to remember that. Amy?
Yes?
What's the question, baby doll? 27 years of age.
Hold on. I have two questions, actually. My first question is regarding getting blowjobs to people who are uncircumcised.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Me and my best friend have actually been in the experience in the recent past, and it's totally different. So, like, I'm wondering, like, what it is for the guy. Like, are you supposed to just put the whole thing in your mouth, or are you supposed to pull the skin back? Because it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, the skin's, when the guy's hard, the skin kind of comes back automatically.
Right. But still, like,
it's best not to break the penis up into too many parts when you're giving a BJ.
Just lick the cheese.
Yeah, just put the whole thing in there. Yeah, I would say, let the guy sort of guide you.
Yeah.
Well, all he says is, like, you're so good. And so I don't think that's what's the real
thing. Oh, my God. This girl's where'd she go to finishing school? I didn't quite catch that.
I think Geneva.
Geneva, okay.
I'm pretty sure it was Geneva.
Lausanne. It was Lausanne. You're right.
Lausanne?
Yeah.
Okay. It could have been somewhere in the south of France as well. Oh, yeah. I picture Amy's upbringing. Just a quartet of cello players. long table.
In the porch or the living room of the trailer?
Jesus Christ. I mean, for 27 years old, you have a BJ question. You got to work the S word.
The BS word.
She's like, oh, I could just hear chomping away on that gum. You want BJ? Can I leave the gum in? Yeah, it's bubblicious. Don't worry, I won't chew. I learned my lesson. Oh, my God. Show. Yeah. All right. Let's, hold on. I'm going to yell at Amy. Amy.
Yeah.
No swearing. You understand me?
Okay, got it.
No, but here, let me explain something. I'm going to put you on hold so you don't swear. I put a theory together from doing this show, which is when stupid people get a head of steam verbally, they swear because their brain can't keep up with their mouth.
Right.
When you're stupid, you have a fast mouth and a slow brain. And you cut your mouth loose, and it's like letting a chicken go in a yard, and your brain can't catch it. Your brain can't catch up to it, and before you know it, boom, MF-er comes flying
out. It doesn't
want
to run into the fence, but it does.
Right. When you're not, here's what you have to do. If you're not smart, you have to pretend like you're at court, and you're in court, and you're guilty of something. Be very deliberate.
Nice.
And you know, when someone says, you know how guilty people talk? They go, well, then where were you that night, Mr. Johnson? Well, I'd gone to bed at about 10 p.m. They have to think about every word because they don't want to shout out something stupid about linking them to their wife's body down at the lake or anything. Right. That's what they need to do. And that's what stupid people need to do when they talk on the radio so they don't swear.
It was yellow American cheese.
Amy?
On the sandwich.
Yes. Be very deliberate when you speak now.
Got it.
And watch yourself.
What's going on? What are you doing for a living?
Blowjobs.
I work at a restaurant.
Ah, cocktailing. Yeah. Are you a server?
Cocktailing.
Yeah. All right. I know you guys as waiters and waitresses, by the way. I'm not buying into this whole server part. Server more demeaning than waitress.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Waitress is kind of formidable. Like,
yeah.
All part of the
waitress,
same team. Waiter, we're here to eat.
That's
we're here
fine.
To.
Yeah. Server sounds worse.
Like, I'm your server.
Yeah, it's real close to servant.
Yes.
All right. So, and what do you hope to be doing, Amy? Marry a nice, circumcised guy and settle down?
Hopefully, yes. I'm not sure.
Okay, sweetie. But here's the deal. You're 27, you know. It's time to start focusing a little bit. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And I appreciate the deliberate answers, by the way.
In a clear and present voice.
That's right. Now, here's my advice for you, Amy.
Okay.
You like to have a good time, and that's
right.
Fine. And you, and God bless you. I wish there was more of you. But here's the deal. You're 27, and that's fine. You have a few more years to have a good time. But you have to start planning just a little bit. Because when chicks who've been partying for a long time had a good time for too long, don't look as good as they did when they were 21 and 22, and then they get into their 30s, and then they don't have an education, and they're still working at the same crappy restaurant. Life gets tough. So just start planning for the future.
Okay,
you know
Mr. Man.
All right.
Roast.
I'm just saying, whatever you're into, education, whatever your goals are, starting a business, whatever, just start looking into it.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. All right.
It's not all about PJs. God knows I know.
Of course.
I'm speaking from experience. I thought the penis train would never end when I was her age. And I found out when that ball caboose hit me square in the chin. I found out at that moment. No, I'm not trying to be funny.
Oh, yeah. 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 Good. Laughing. That's good.
No, you shouldn't be laughing about the ball caboose. You understand? All right. Let's take a break.
Let's do.
I'm going to give my show a plug one more time. Midnight, too late, Adam Carolla, Comedy Central. Alec Baldwin tonight, as you've never seen him before.
Really?
Leader.
What's he talk about?
He crapped in the bed. Alec Baldwin, you realize, is one of the smartest, funniest guys you'll ever come across. And there's a part of you that doesn't want to like him because he's a little bit of a blowhard and he's, you know, got that liberal lefty actor thing going on. But you know what? Super smart. And super funny, and just gets into it tonight.
Cool.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Oh, there you go. Coheed and Cambria, everybody.
Hi there.
Good Apollo, name of the CD.
Yep.
Michael Claudio.
Hey, Adam. It's
been real, but we is out of time. What's that, Drew?
I'm watching the footage of this storm come in. It's really amazing. So our thoughts go out to everybody. Get the hell out of there and get back in and rebuild.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Meanwhile, it's 104 out here.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. You're coming back to the Devil's Cauldron. Yeah. All right. Drew, God bless you from D.C. Oh, what is it, Thursday?
Yeah.
I gotta thank everyone. Well, listen, you know who you are.
Yeah, thank you.
You did a good job.
Yeah.
Come on, I have to thank you every week.
Everyone.
Yeah, and who the hell thanks me?
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
All right. So until next time,
girl.
Claudio, you want
to
say anything?
Here.
No. You don't want to thank me at all? Come on, brother. How about a little sugar? Until next time, Sam Crawford, Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.